some members of Congress did not even read the bill before voting on it. Thus, as some of its minutiae escaped scrutiny, one bit of trivia that caught our eye was the elimination of habeas corpus, which apparently used to be the right of anyone who's tossed in prison to appear in court and say, "Hey, why am I in prison?"
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
The reality is, without habeas corpus, a lot of other rights lose their meaning. If you look at the actual Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of that pesky Constitution, you'll see just how many remain for your protection.
A well-regulated militia be necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Number one's gone. If you're detained without trial, you lose your freedom of the religion and speech, press, assembly, all that stuff. So you don't need that anymore. And you know, you can't petition the government for you. Number two, well, while you're in prison, your right to keep and bear arms just might be infringed upon, even if you're in the NRA.
No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in times of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law.
Well, okay, no forced sleepovers at your house by soldiers.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized.
You're definitely not secure against searches and seizures, as it says here, with or without probable cause. And in prison, that's not even limited, just the guard. So look at the fourth. Five.
No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or the militia when in actual service in times of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation.
Grand jury and due process obviously are so clear. Six.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state or district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense.
Well, trials are gone, too,
let alone
the right to counsel. Even trials? Do you want it when? Seven.
In suits at common law, where the value of controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall otherwise be examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law.
This is a very important one. I thought we just covered trials and juries earlier, so forget the seven. Eight.
Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted.
Bail. Well,
bail
is kind of a moot point here. Isn't it? And nine.
The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others detained by the people.
Other rights retained by the people, well, you know, if you can name them during your waterboarding, we'll consider them. Ten.
The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
power is not delegated to the United States federal government. Well, it's implemented up there anyway. So as you can see, without habeas corpus, at least one tenth of the Bill of Rights, I guess that's the Bill of Rights now, remains virtually intact. Number three is still safe. We can rest easy knowing that we will never ever have to quarter soldiers in our homes, as long as the Third Amendment still stands strong.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is fraternal organizations in the U.S., which are I was never part of that. Some kind of old academic tradition. But I don't know where the word comes from. Is it French?
Well, it sounded French. Huh? Coins, but I mean the French.
Then it's Latin.
Was it?
Is it Latin origin?
Well, it's like, I don't know if it was made, it wasn't made, it was made up before the revolution, so it comes from Latin. I don't know what's the origin.
Is it the same word in French?
Yeah.
Fraternité.
Fraternité.
But I don't know if I've ever used the word.
Well, I've never used it ever. It's like an old one now. It feels like it's really old.
It's only connected to its official fraternity.
Yeah.
I would say, oh, he belongs to a fraternity, which is an organization. But if I fraternalize with my friends, then they'd look at me pretty strange. Like, what are you talking about? Are we a cult or something? Like, is it? It could be a dead word in that way.
The last time I heard it was, hearing for a long, long time, was rolled around them in France with slow called the CPO, where everyone was in the street and there were riots and everything. And then you read occasionally in the newspaper, you know, so what happened to the Égalité Fraternité and things like that. But that's it, really. Mm-hmm. It's not.
It's just a label now.
Yeah.
It's not actually.
It's kind of magnetic.
Fraternity, so it's just, if you look different word, it's F and then eternity.
Yeah, well, you have eternity.
Yeah.
But you still use the word eternalize. So if I want to make something into an eternity, then I eternalize it. But I can't say fraternalize or fraternize. It just sounds awkward.
But you say fraternal in French. Which has this notion of forever. Can you say that in English?
Oh, but yeah, and you say, I know people who say, he's my brother or she's my sister, and they're not related, but meaning that they feel they've formed a bond for life.
Yeah. Mm. But I don't connect directly to the word.
More involves organizations and yeah, it's not just an emotional
like politics or friendship, but friendship is also sometimes like political.
Mm.
Like, well, it's not
kind of, yeah, but friendship usually you don't want to mix
because
somehow it's like if you start mixing friendship and politics,
but if I say
it's abuse of the word, and even
also between friends, like if you said to your friend, like, are you my brother, you are my sister, you, we are friends all our life, that's kind of like we try to prove something as a, but if you say that in front of a third person, that's becoming project, kind of you're excluding this person from their world, so you create a kind of border between the third person and us. That's kind of we and you.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
And but that's kind of me.
But the fraternity is Yeah, but no, I think
we all just normally, we normally have this experience.
Yeah, but the fraternity, society. The fraternity is the like label though.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, it's like, it's after like you have agreement of something.
So if you use this word friends in the political world, like,
if you exchange,
you know, like, well, I mean, if this word is a kind of political, like, official word, but you some politician use this word friends in their state speech.
Yeah, like friendship.
Yeah. But
yeah, it's a word you can use in different levels, like, you know, as a propaganda to say, oh, you have to feel like you're a citizen of this place, and so you have to be free.
Mm.
You can use fraternity for that, but it's not. I don't know, it's completely different than brotherhood and sisterhood, when do they? The way you approach it.
We had in Yugoslavia that we're all brothers and sisters.
When it fall apart.
When it fall apart, we were enemies. I mean, between brothers and sisters and enemies is a very thin line. Maybe just a day or two. But it's a very abstract meaning. If it would have to be a meaning, it's really hard to articulate it.
Mm.
I mean, it's like safety, but in other way, it could be really a struggle.
It's kind of image as well. Yeah, it's safety, secure image.
Mm.
It's nothing else.
Well, I think it's just like, in a way, it is.
Yeah, we talk about
eternal, not really eternal, but you can always get back to it. Even if you like have a fight or something, you can still find a way to go back and feel safe there.
I mean, yeah, that's in literal brother and sisters. But you know, in terms of
yeah, but it's still
Serbians and Slovenians or Serbians and Bosnians. I mean,
it's
a different story.
Yeah, but you can look at it from this different aspects.
Mm.
It's, in a way, it's a trust between two people.
Trust is quite difficult. Why we want to be group or that kind of, why we want to belong to something.
Okay, but that's a social thing.
Do we want to go global?
Or deeper.
Practically.
No, I think if in one word, probably it would mean trust.
Mm.
Yeah.